Good morning, everyone. You are tuned in to the Vandal Scoreboard on KUOI Moscow 89.3 FM, hosted by myself and Jaden Barfus. Jaden, how are we doing over there?
Good. Overall, pretty good Saturday. I mean, with all the parents here and the excitement in the air for our game tonight.
Yeah, Eastern Washington taking on the Vandals in the Kibbe Dome this evening for Parents and Family Weekend. Should be a fun one. Before we get into that, though, at the very end of the episode, as we always do, the men's tennis team was just at in Las Vegas, Nevada, for the ITA Mountain Regionals. The only one I'm going to talk about is Gabriel Mortar. There were three Vandals down there. His singles results, he only played in singles, so I guess his doubles results don't matter because they don't exist. He had a bye in the first round. He won in the second. Lost in the first main draw round, won in the first round back draw. I don't know what any of this means, by the way. He had a walkover in the second round back draw, win in the third round back draw, and lost in the semifinal back draw, 2-6, 6-7, 2-7. So, yeah. And then the women were in New Mexico for the ITA regionals. Naomi Schrader lost in the first round in the round of 64, she lost in the second round, 3-0, I don't know how tennis scoring works. And then Valentina Rodas lost in the first round of that round of 64. Those were the only two Vandals to compete in the women's regional tournament. And then I think they have some more meets coming up, the men at least. I closed out the women's tab. My bad if you wanted to hear about women's tennis schedules. But the men are headed to Newburgh, Oregon for the George Fox tournament next Friday through Sunday. And then the ITA Conference Masters Championships are in San Diego, November 7th through the 10th. So those are their two upcoming ones. And then I imagine the women probably have a couple more meets before the end of the semester. Track and field / cross country, or in this case, solely cross country. We're down in Lewiston this last weekend to kick off the day, taking part in the 5K and 8K for the women and men at Lewis Clark State College, which we'll talk about again later on in the episode, fun enough. The women took second, and the men took third down in the Lewis Clark Valley in Lewiston. And that was really all that happened this last week in the non-super exciting sports that Jane and I know a whole bunch about.
Yeah.
And that was 4 minutes. I pushed it longer than I did last time, so go me. Anywho, now that that's all out of the way, Jaden, your favorite time of the year is almost coming to a close.
Yes.
The Vandals played in their final home game of the season last Sunday against Idaho State, beating the Bengals pretty handedly. And then they are currently down in Greeley, Colorado, to take on the University of Northern Colorado Bears at 12 p.m. tomorrow. So, Jaden, kind of walk us through this absolute beatdown against... We kind of previewed Weber State a day late when the episode went out last week. So kind of talk about that Weber State game, how that went.
Yep.
The Idaho State game, which was senior day, and then talk us through this University of Northern Colorado game.
Yeah, so first off, again, I'm very sad the soccer season will be over here soon, but the Vandals took care of business. You and I both said these two games have to be wins and wins handily, and both of them were. The Vandals defeated the Weber State Wildcats 2-0. In a game that it felt like much more. It really did. It really felt like the game should have been 4 or 5-0 because they came out from the front foot and they strictly dominated just the whole game. And it got started early with a goal from Sarah Rogers from guess who? Outside back, Alyssa Peters corner kick, who is now second in the nation with 13 assists right now. And she has 32 career, which she tied the single season assist record for the Big Sky with 13. She is having an amazing last year, even though you wouldn't know it if you actually talk to her. But the game was, again, from the start, it was a dominating one. And then the second goal was a goal inside the 37th minute by, oh, Carly. Okay, so this play, I probably watched over and over again. I think I told James this. Anna Gonzalez picked off the ball. Probably about midfield. She dribbled through two people. She put the ball around another one, placed it to Carly, and Carly scored, make it 2-0. And then they sought the game to get a 2-0 win. And then they took on Idaho State, who, so sorry for everyone back home, I'm sorry, but they stink. That game was over before it even started.
I mean, I have no skin in the game. They were... They looked awful in every sense of the word. I mean, not to crap on the team down south, not to crap on little brother too bad, but it was.
Well, I mean, the one thing about Idaho State, they solely relied on Seiji Bell. Seiji Bell has not played. She's missed 12 games of the season with a season-ending injury. Really haven't found any offense since then. And I know that some of the Idaho State Journal reporters down there will argue with me, but they really haven't found offense. Yesterday afternoon they played Montana. It was the same thing. So on a very, I would say, emotional game for a whole lot of people, being the last game inside the dome, Vandals won 4-0. This game actually got off to a pretty slow start for both teams. Couldn't really find anything until the 25th minute, when again, as we keep saying, a corner kick goal by Santa Gonzalez, her fourth goal on the season. And then 5 minutes later, Farley found Jaden Hanks for the second one, and then they really turned it on after those two quick goals. They had 2 second half goals by Farley, and then the last one was from Maddie Lasher. I was very excited for Maddie, as she hasn't had the year that I'm thinking she was expecting and the Vandals were expecting, only scoring 2 goals this year. But she got it inside her last game at home as a Vandal. Again, this game was over from the start. Idaho State had no offense. The whole game was played inside Idaho State's half, which is why I'm actually going to shout out a player from them. Redshirt freshman keeper Trinity Hill, 12 saves on the day. She saved that game from being 7-8-0. That game was over way before it got over. Now, going into this game against Northern Colorado, another team that's not really very good. I'm sorry. 3-14, 1-5-1 in conference. And this will be their last game of the season, as they will not qualify for the Big Sky Tournament, which I will talk about here in a second. They are led by... I'm going to pull my stats back up. Sorry.
Man, Jaden's so ill prepared.
I am not prepared.
I'm the one who's supposed to not be prepared when we do these things.
They are led by Lexi. Tuiti? I don't know. I'm sorry if she is listening. 3 goals, no assists. Then they Brooke Holmberg, 1 goal, 2 assists. And Lauren Woodhull, which is the only one that I know from last year's team. She has 2 goals. They are inside the post for them. They have Kaya Lindberg, a junior who has 27 goals allowed, 74 saves, 73% save percentage. So a pretty good save percentage. But this game should be a game the Vandals can win convincingly and take a 4-game win streak into the Big Sky tournament. And if things fall our way, could be first place after that game. Which leads me into my last things, the Big Sky tournament. Standings, right now Montana has a 1-point lead over us, 17 points to 16. They're 5-0-2, we're 5-1-1. Eastern Washington has clinched the number 3 seed. They are 4-1-3. Fourth place right now is Northern Arizona, who shot up from 6th to 4th. Portland State has 9, and Sac State has 9. Portland State is above them, since Portland State, I think, beat Sac State. But, yeah, that is about it right now. And then Idaho State, Northern Colorado, and Weber State have all cannot make the Big Sky tournament.
Yeah, just looking at the standings, I pulled them up. Yeah. You're welcome. I'm not going to sound like a buffoon today. You mentioned, you know, Sac State and Portland State kind of being these final 2 seeds.
So
wherever those.
Hang on. Sacramento State has not played Portland State. They actually play them tomorrow at 12.
Okay.
So that game will decide 5th and 6th. Sorry, James.
No, you're good. Great information. Good work, Jaden. Quick on the draw over there. Sac State, both Portland State, Sac State sitting 2-2-3 in conference play.
Mm-hmm.
Portland State is on a 1-game losing streak. Okay, that's fine. Sacramento State has tied their past 3 games. So, what happens if Portland State and Sac State draw tomorrow?
So, if they draw, it would. Right now, Portland State has a better overall record. So, Portland State would be 5th, Sac State would be 6th. And then if they win or lose, it depends on that. But right now, it's big because Sac State kind of turned it around. They're impressive 4-0-4 at home, 4 draws though. So they did tie Montana. So thank you so much for that, for actually giving the Vandals a chance for first place. But that game will be one to watch. And then, obviously, Montana versus Weber State. First place against last place. If last place can somehow get a tie, the Vandals will host the Big Sky Tournament next year if we win. It's still a big if because Northern Colorado might not have a lot of wins, but they've taken teams to the wire. Montana only beat them 1-0. Eastern only beat them 2-1. So this is a game not to take lightly. So let me now lay out every possible scenario for us to get first place. There's one. Montana has to draw or lose, and we have to win. There's no other scenario. And then how that would work if we get number 1, we play the winner out of the 4-5 game. If we get number 2, we play the winner out of the 3-6 game. So that would be probably Eastern against either Sac or Portland State, or NAU against either Portland State or Sac State. We've beaten every team of that except for Eastern. Now, if we get matched up with Eastern in the semis, that will be a great semifinal, kind of like the Montana one in 2022. So that will be exciting. We have two more weeks of the soccer season, and I might shed a few tears after that.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned not beating Eastern, that game being a tie, if I remember correctly. Yep. And Jaden, I think you and I have talked off air, I'm pretty sure. I don't think we've ever mentioned this on air. Basically all season, if this game goes to free kicks or whatever the heck it is,
penalty kicks. Yeah.
If this goes to PKs, it's very likely that Idaho ends their season in the semifinal against Eastern Washington.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I will say is PKs is a whole different animal. If you've ever experienced them, it's the most nerve-wracking ever. So, we obviously have not saved one this year. We're 0-4. We're definitely going to have to see. I do think that against Eastern, if we do play them, I really think that stretch of game, that game in particular, we came out flat. If we come out and play our best soccer, we could beat Eastern straight up. The only team, and I'm sorry to all the players and Jeremy, the only team I don't think we can beat straight up is Montana.
I fully agree.
I think that game will have to be a grind out, get them two PKs and hope, because the thing about Bayless Flynn and the amazing broadcasters for Idaho State, Ashley said this in quotes, she's the best goalkeeper in the nation. She is not even the best goalkeeper on her own team. So, no, she's not. She's played good. She really hasn't been battle tested. I mean, they're a very great defensive team, so she hasn't really faced that many shots. So, against Montana, we're going to have to pepper her. We're going to have to... But we can't really talk about that because...
That would be the championship game.
They might not even face each other because we may lose or Montana may choke again.
For all we know, this could be an Eastern Washington Sacramento State championship.
Yeah, we have no idea.
Sky soccer is this year.
Well, I mean, no. For the first time in a long time, there's actually general separation. The first two teams are here, and then everyone else is down here. However, a tournament setting is just different. I mean, there wasn't very many upsets last year, because Vandals got number 2 last year. We played Portland State number 3, and then NAU was number 4. That would be the upset. They beat number 5, and then they beat Montana. That game was nuts. I absolutely was going nuts because I did not want to face Montana last year. But actually, this year, I would love to face Montana again because I do think that game inside Montana, we played like crap, and we only lost 2-1. So
somebody should have a crap counter for this episode. I think we've said it like 10 times now.
Yeah. I don't think that playing the way we did, we could beat them straight up. But if we play our best soccer, we can. But that's the problem. And you and I have talked about this off air and on air. As soon as we play a team that's up to our level, we kind of shrink down. And we go into this defensive shell. And Montana is the best offense and counterattacking team in the Big Sky. And they make teams pay, like Idaho State did. Idaho State came into that game wanting a tie. They came in defense. And two counterattacking opportunities in Montana scored. One by Chloe Seelhoff and one by Maddie Ditta. And so those two goals are a prime example of why Montana hasn't gotten beaten in the Big Sky in 2 regular seasons. So it's definitely going to be a fun last weekend. And then next show, I don't know when that's going to be. That will be to be announced. We can go into more detail about the Big Sky Tournament. Also, check me out, please, on the UIArgonaut.com or check out our last print if you are around the Moscow area.
Yeah, you know, no longer work for the Argonaut, but, you know, they're across the hall, same branch as QE is, you know, used to be an employee there. This is one of the, like, best productions they've put out over these past couple of months.
Yep.
Jaden, you know, I used to be his editor. Yep. This is, he wrote a profile on Alyssa Peters, you know, all-time Big Sky leader in assists, Alyssa Peters. Yep. Probably the best article he's written, at least profile-wise. So if you want some information on a couple of players that are going to make a big impact for the Vandals, both tomorrow and in the Big Sky tournament, definitely check out Jaden's work.
Yeah, and their last games as Vandals, as I said last week, I'm going to pull, and this is going to be the last thing I say. So, and, okay, players, don't quote me on this, because I don't know who's staying, who has another year, but on the roster, we have a few players playing their last games as Vandals. Number 2, Kyla Tucker. Number 7, Kylie Hummel. Number 8, Hannah Alfaro-Black. Number 10, Leiden Huber. I would say number 9, Heather, but she is coming back from what I have been told. Peters, the older one. the younger one, Tori, still has two more years. 14, Cassidy Elliker. Number 17, Rebecca Reyes. Number 21, Maddie Lasher. Now, this is a maybe. Number 22, Sienna Gonzalez. She still has one more year, so we'll see what that does. Freshman. Number 26, Jaden Hanks.
Number
44, Margot Schessler. So, if you guys want to watch our last games, tune in on ESPN Plus. That will be live stream both the game tomorrow and the whole Big Sky tournament.
Yeah. Once again, Idaho's final game is against the Northern Colorado Bears at 12 o'clock, yes, tomorrow. And if you're down there for the game, for the soccer game tomorrow,
go on support.
I don't really care about UNC at all, but this is kind of fun. If you're already down there and you're listening for some crazy reason in Greeley, there's a trunk or treat during UNC's football game against Montana today. So if you have a kid down there too and you give them a costume, you could also go to a women's basketball game in a week if you live in Greeley and are a Vandal fan. Not that that really matters at all, but it does make a great segue,
yeah,
into the football that we actually care about here on the Palouse. I actually have no idea who Washington State is playing today. Oh, actually, wait, never mind. Jaden, good catch. I really hope you heard him whisper very quietly over the mic. Basketball season has begun, at least for the women. They took, yeah, on LCSC. Last night.
Lewis and Clark State College, for people that don't know what that means.
Yeah, well, you should if you live in the area. Well, my mom probably doesn't.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, Mom, it's Lewis Clark State College. Winning 79-49, obviously, you know, NAIA versus D1. But Jaden and I were both in attendance, so Jaden, feel free to step in whenever you want.
Yep.
The first few minutes of this game, it looked like an Idaho team that had two returning players from last season. I mean, they still looked good, but it was, I think it was like 17 or 18 to 11,
yeah,
after,
yeah,
the first 4.5 or so minutes. And Jaden looks over at me and he goes, I don't like that we've given up 11 points already.
Yeah, yeah, it was.
They then proceeded to not score until 5 minutes into the second quarter.
Yeah.
You know, kind of a drought there, but it was a fun game to watch. Satara Bird for LCSC led them in scoring, almost had half of their points with 23. You're just a really, really good ball player they have down there. Kendall Wallace, if that last name sounds familiar, it's because her older sister, Ashlyn Wallace, plays for the Vandals.
Mm-hmm.
And funnily enough, freshman Kendall Wallace, who probably won't play in another game this season if they want to redshirt her, in about 6 minutes, she shot four times from three, and she shot 5 times overall. She scored 2 points. Her sister, senior, Ashlyn Wallace, didn't score.
Didn't score, yeah.
So I really thought that the shot that Kendall hit was on Ashlyn, but I was incorrect. Ashlyn was on the other side of the court. Yeah. I wasn't really paying attention. But and it was a fun game to be at. There were about 700 people there. So yep. Obviously not a huge crowd, but the fact that it was an exhibition game, I talked to a guy outside the venue, and I was like, you know, I'd be happy with like 500 people here. And well, there were 700.
Yeah, so. I mean, so after the game, talking with Coach Art, he was very excited about 700 for a game like this, because obviously we know this is a game the Vandals will win pretty handily. I mean, the game for me was great, except for the start of the game and then towards that third quarter, which we struggled last year into the third quarter.
We struggled every year inside the third quarter.
So that's definitely something Coach Art will have to fix. However, Art, after the game, was sopping wet because the players sprayed water on him after the win. Although it won't go down as his first win, it's honestly great. I mean, the Vandals have 11 transfers. They actually have, technically, they have 3 returning players, but Ana
Beatriz Da Silva.
Alves Da Silva.
It's a really long name.
came here in, I think, the end of January, I think.
Yeah, she was here very late in the season. Yeah. She's finally able to come up.
Yep, and she played pretty good, but I think, really, this game was down to a few players, ones that I was really looking forward to seeing. Number one, Olivia Nelson, ended with 10 points. She was very solid at the point guard position. She was she really dictated the flow of the offense, and she hit 3 pointers. And she was perfect from the 3-point line, which is something that was not a theme last year. So,
yeah, I mean, this team is, I mean, no hate on Coach Newley, no hate on Carrie Amy, at least, you know, basketball wise. Let's get contracts signed. anywho, this is just a different type of Idaho team, and one that I've wanted to see for the past 4 years. A team that shoots the ball when they're wide open,
yep,
or barely contested, and they hit the shots that they need to. And Hope Hassman, 4 for 5, only shot 3, or yeah, shot
yeah.
1 shot inside the 3-point line. She was almost perfect. She had a late shot that rimmed out, but 14 points. Jaden and I couldn't say enough great things about her during last night's game.
Yeah.
Jennifer Odland was incredible. Ella Urati was great.
Mm-hmm.
Victoria Carvalho was really good, which is a player I wasn't really sure about how she was going to play, what she was going to play. But she's 5 for 6, so she shot a few free throws, hit 2 of them. That was another thing. The Vandals were 6 for 9 from the free throw line. Actually had some free throws this season. Yeah, it was such a fun game to watch. And I mean, obviously, you go and you look at a game against an NAIA school in Lewis Clark State, and then in a couple weeks you head down to Provo, Utah, and you play a top 25 probably team in Brigham Young University,
yeah.
And then 4 days later you come and you play Washington State in Pullman.
Yes.
So. Now, these next two games are really going to tell us a lot about this Idaho team, but I'm excited to see what Art does with this team. I mean, he was hired, he was the perfect hire for the Vandals. I mean, you don't keep the, 11 transfers, as Jaden said.
Yes.
You don't keep those 11 transfers if you don't have Art at the helm. You probably lose Ashlyn Wallace to the transfer portal if you don't keep Art at the helm. Maybe, I don't know. But,
yeah.
I mean, everyone who had committed to Idaho outside of one who followed Coach Amy to USD and then one who ended up at Montana.
The one that was from Post Falls. So
yeah, but I mean, Art was the perfect hire for the Vandals, I think. We're going to hopefully have him on the show sometime in the next couple weeks. Yeah. Hopefully next week, and maybe that episode will go out after the BYU game. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But
yeah,
it was just a good game all around. I mean, I texted or Martin Heemstra texted me after the game, and he's like, you know, this Idaho team looks good. I mean, the offense is fast paced, and the only drawback I had from this game is some ball handling issues. Whether that was in the paint or you know, dribbling the ball off your foot. I'd love to see Rosie not put the ball down as much. As she had four turnovers. So I'm very excited to see how Rosie grows in this team. I think she's going to be a good player for the Vandals, probably a good kind of defensive spark, likely off of the bench from what it looked like after last night's game. Might be a better role to come off the bench but still get a decent amount of playing time. But I'm excited to just for basketball season to start. I love football. Everyone loves football. Football season goes by too fast every year. But, you know, being back in ICC Arena, there's not as many sweaty and gross and loud drunk frat guys at these games. It's a place where I can just have a good time. I can tell a ref, man, that might have been a questionable call, and then she explains to me why it was a travel. Shout out to her last night. She's still one of the worst refs I've ever seen, but she explained her call to me rather than telling me to eat another cheeseburger. So thank you to her. And then the men, to jump over to them, to not leave them out of the dust, we have about 25 minutes, so we'll still talk about football. But I do want to touch on the men's team starting not this coming Monday, but the Monday
next
after
Monday. Yep.
Against Northwest University, wherever the heck they're out of. Probably somewhere in the Northwest, if I had to guess.
I was going to say, probably Washington somewhere.
Yeah, probably. That's on Monday, next Monday at 6 p.m. And then...
Here.
Yeah, here. And then UC Davis, not a Big Sky basketball team.
We'll also be here.
We'll be here November 7th. And then I really like that Idaho men and women looked at each other probably and went, let's both play WSU and BYU. Why the heck not? Both in Pullman, both in Provo, both on separate days for some crazy reason, with the women going down there on November 6th to Provo, the men going down on November 16th to Provo, and the women going to Pullman on November 10th, a Sunday, and the men going over on November 11th, a Monday. I would tell you what time those games in Pullman are at, but they haven't been announced yet, so... woohoo! Maybe we should get that figured out in the next 2 weeks. But should be a fun couple games, and then Idaho will be back home for men on November 19th after these first two games. Women will be back home on November 13th. Both of their two technically first two games of the season, if you don't count the exhibition.
Yeah,
on the road.
Yeah, I mean, for me, this team, and after speaking with Coach Art after the game, like I said, the guys said three things that this Vandals team is going to be. It's going to be fast pace. We saw that. Pressing on defense. We saw that. And so, and the third thing is going to be we're going to win on the glass. Three things we struggled with all last year. And so, I, like James, I love the Art hiring. I did back as soon as Coach Jamie left, I knew it was going to either be Art or Drew. I was kind of leaning towards Drew, but then when I really thought about it, I really think Art had the more upper-level coaching experience. So it's great. I mean, and I do think this team is going to be a really good team. I mean, I think we're picked 7th and 8th, but this team will shock some people. You know, the one game I'm really excited for, and I've told James this, that game against BYU. Fun fact, people, a Big 12 team in Provo, Utah, has more Idaho kids than the University of Idaho, Idaho State, and Boise State have. So, folks, I'm so excited to watch, especially, number one, their point guard, Amari Whiting, who is a stellar player. Really, I mean, and I don't have much time to really speak about Amari, but she tore her ACL her senior year of high school when she transferred from Burley High School to, I can't remember where she was at the time, in in the Provo area, because her mom, Amber, is actually the head coach at BYU. But she tore ACL, and she has really had a, she really had a tough time last year getting back into it. As she said, if you follow me, I did post a story of the thing, of her like her talking with the BYU TV people. But she's gonna be exciting. Cammy Barber, who played in my arch rival, well, is there. A kid from Shelley High School, where my mom is from, Cannon, Burr in the Cannon. So it's going to be exciting to watch them play. And like I said, this team will match up with everyone inside the Big Sky, and I expect them to be a top four team come March.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the reason they're ranked so low is the 11 transfers. You haven't really seen what they can do, but...
Yeah.
I think this team is, you know, no offense to last year, I think this team is better.
Much
I think the
better.
Men's team
much
is,
better.
Is better.
Yeah.
I just think this is going to be a good season for Idaho. And I think that just up the hill from the basketball team is finishing out a good season. Man, I'm really good at these football transfers, huh? If you didn't know, Idaho has won some games this season. Most recently beating Cal Poly in about the most embarrassing game I've ever witnessed, but they won 34-29.
That game was brutal.
Jack Wagner, who will be the starter today, for those of you who don't understand how football works, the coach announced who the quarterback is, not your little friends on your Facebook feed, okay?
Yes, James is very hot about Jack Lane not starting. People.
I don't actually care if Jack Lane doesn't start. I just hate that people
he does.
Think that we can't
deep,
win
deep down,
football games.
He does.
Okay, do I want to see Jack Lane come back this season? Absolutely. Jack Lane's a great football player.
I'm just joking. But
is Jack Wagner 17 for 23 for 347 yards, three touchdowns, and an interception against Cal Poly?
Yes.
Is he a top 30 watch list for the Jerry Rice Award?
Yes. I mean, he...
Should he... Yeah. Lose his starting position to a player who hasn't played in seven games?
No, which is what you and I talked about last night. But, yeah, that Cal Poly game, oh my goodness. Like, that first half was probably the worst half I've... Okay, besides the game versus UC Davis my first year here, that was the worst half I've ever seen. 14-6,
yeah, UC Davis was a good football team.
That's the issue. I mean, the Vandals were not very good in the first half. Our play calling was atrocious. Our blocking was terrible. But then the second half, scored four touchdowns in the second half. Three straight. So, I mean, I really think if the offensive coordinator and Kochik would trust Jack Wagner to throw it down the field, Jack Wagner, in my opinion, has been a very good quarterback. I mean, everyone's saying, well, he's only a placeholder until Jack Lane comes back. Why? The guy's been great. I mean, he's really had to battle it with a... Okay, watch your words, Jaden. With a not-so-great offensive line this season, who...
Anybody who is anybody can look at Idaho's offensive line and realize it hasn't been good this season.
And
the reason why is because... It's a patchwork offensive line. You lose two starters in the first couple games of the year. You know, you got to figure out what you're going to do from there.
Yeah.
But, Jack Wagner has done what he's needed to do with an offensive line that isn't perfect.
I mean, Jack has lost, one game, I think?
One game as a starter against Montana State University.
No, because Nick started
against MSU.
So
right.
the game versus UC Davis was his only loss. So and that game against Montana State's over. That game was over before he even started. So, but this final team, especially against Eastern Washington, can make some noise. And I think that Wagner should be the starter until he cannot. Jack Wagner has really proven that he can be a true quarterback for this Vandal team. And for a Vandal team that doesn't need a stud quarterback. And I think that's what people around here don't understand. This team doesn't need a five-star quarterback because our offense is ran through our tailbacks and through our stout defense we have that we both of us were praying for last year with Giovanni and the offense we had last year.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Idaho this season, and Jack Wagner's numbers aren't really going to, you know, jump off the page, so to speak. 83 completions on 155 attempts, 5 interceptions. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, call it 4 interceptions, because, you know, he came in at the end of the Oregon game, threw that pick.
Yeah.
Dude hadn't played a snap ever.
Ever. Yeah, his first snap.
So he's 53.5% from the field this season, but
it's not bad.
1,184 yards, 11 touchdowns through the air.
Good. Really good, especially that he's played, what, 7 games?
Yeah, this will be his 7th start today.
Yeah. So.
He's looked good. You know, Jason Eck has talked a little bit about, you know, you'd love to see him kind of be more, I can't think of the word, but, you know, when the opportunity presents itself to run the ball.
Oh, okay.
Run the ball. You know, he mentioned it during the game or after the game against Cal Poly, where it was he probably should have gone forward instead of sliding, but he also could have hurt himself. So, you know, I'll take him sliding.
Yeah.
But I mean, he's looked good. I mean, really the quarterback play this year has been good. I mean, you look at Nick Josefek as well, who won't play for the rest of the season with a broken collarbone. But, I mean, he was 21 for 37 in the games he was in. But, and I told Jaden when I saw that Jack Wagner was on the Jerry Rice Award watch list, I don't know if he really deserves to be on that list. And then you look at his numbers, and it's, I'm incorrect. I mean, yep. He's played incredible ball this year. I still think that, you know, Adam Jones is probably the best freshman in the Big Sky, and he's, you know, the backup running back at Montana State. That just goes to prove how good they are. Yeah. But, you know, I said it on the second episode of the show when Idaho went to play Wyoming. My exact words, and I can find the audio clip if I ever need to. I said, if Jack Wagner is on the Jerry Rice Award watch list for the best freshman in the country, why take him out? So everybody and their dog, and I say this because the people who I was talking to last night who mentioned this had a dog. He was saying, man, it's going to be a really good game tomorrow. No hate on the guy who said this. He's a really great guy. Really nice dude. But he was like, you know, we're going to have a really great game tomorrow if the rumors are true. Well, they're not. But no, we're still going to have a good game.
Yeah, we're still going to get. I mean, the one thing I will say is that the quarterback play, like you said, is not our problem. Really, this Vandal team has no true problem. It's that if the Vandals play their best ball, except for the O-line and some parts, I mean, some parts of blah, 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 but this team has great players all around the field.
Yeah, I mean, Jordan Dwyer said it best.
Offense, defense, yeah.
Jordan Dwyer said it best after last week's game. If, you know, in the second half they came out, they played Idaho football.
Yeah.
Jason Eck has said this every year since he got here. The only team that can beat the Vandals is the Vandals, outside of Montana State.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at the loss to UC Davis. Who beat the Vandals? The Vandals.
We did, yeah.
You look at the first half against Cal Poly, who almost lost to Cal Poly? The Vandals. I mean, it's really just a lesson of, we have to play Idaho football. We have to let Jack Wagner play Jack Wagner football. We have to let the running backs play running back football. Hopefully, Eli and Nate are going to be, really, really hopefully Eli and Nate are going to be here for the Eastern game and in for the Eastern game. They're on the depth chart. They were on the depth chart last week. But, you know, whatever. But with about 13 minutes left, I kind of want to dive into this Eastern Washington team that Idaho is playing today. They're Eastern Washington. They've always... I was really hoping to get to ask my buddy Patty to come on the show, and then I forgot, and I figured he probably wasn't going to be here early enough. He used to go to Idaho, transferred up to Eastern. You know, we all make mistakes in life. But he mentioned in the, like, 10 minutes that I was able to catch of the Tubbs of the Club podcast, Eastern has always had this offensive identity. And you look at, you know, last season.
Passing. Yep.
They have Kakoa, Visperez, and... Efton Chisholm, I think is how you pronounce his name.
Yeah, Chisholm,
Kakoa, on the season, 149 completions, 202 attempts. He's thrown an interception. I didn't realize he threw an interception. Poor guy. 1,536 yards, 13 touchdowns. Receiving for Eastern Washington. Now, remember this number. 1,536 yards, Kakoa Vesperos. Passing yards. Receiving yards. Efton Chisholm the third. Chisholm the third? I don't care. 69 receptions. Nice. 750 yards. Once again, 1,536 passing yards from Kakoa, 750 receiving yards from Efton. That's about half of his half of his passing yards to one guy. Eight touchdowns. Over half of his touchdowns, almost all of his touchdowns, have been to one guy. I mean, this is what, if we're being completely honest with ourselves, if Jack Lane was not injured against Oregon, this is what we expected the Jack Lane Jordan Dwyer connection to be. And Kakoa and Efton are living out the dreams that Vandal fans had before the beginning of the season. They have the third best offense in the Big Sky. 32 touchdowns, five field goals, good for them. They've gone for 1 2-point conversion. 236 total points, averaging 33.7 points a game.
Yes. Their defense. Very good offense.
Their defense has allowed 267 points, 38 points per game. So they're losing their games on average by about 5 points. They lost to non-scholarship Pioneer League team Drake, not to be confused with the weird guy Drake. I thought that was pretty funny, huh? But their offense is just, it's really good. I mean, through the air, really, really good. You look at their running game, I guess we should probably touch on. Tuna Altahir, something like that. 80 attempts, 440 yards. He's averaging about 5-6 yards a carry. Two touchdowns. Jared Taylor, 53 attempts over six games, 313 yards, about 6 yards a carry, five touchdowns. And then Kakoa, who, you know, I just mentioned has 1,500 passing yards, 750 of them to one guy. 65 attempts, 298 yards on the ground, but he's also lost 73 yards due to, you know, sacks and all that. But he has five rushing touchdowns. So, you know, this is a game where you look at Idaho and you go, man, we have a really, really good defense. We'll be able to stop Eastern Washington. And then you look at Idaho and you go, wait.
I mean,
can our offense keep up with Eastern Washington?
We also gave 29 points to Cal Poly. So,
yeah. I mean, you know, this is going to be a game where hopefully Keyshawn James Newby can get off the line once or twice instead of being held every single time. Or if he is getting held, maybe we'll get a call to go our way once in a while.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, if there's any Big Sky Conference refs who listen to my show and Jaden's show, and I won't count Jaden out. there's a guy. His name's Keyshawn James Newby. Really, really good edge rusher. One of the best in the Big Sky. Probably a top candidate for Big Sky Defensive Player of the Year. If we could get, like, two holding calls when this guy's trying to get off the line in today's game, I'd be happy, because we haven't gotten any all season, and he gets held just about every play.
Yeah.
Which, as they say in the industry, every play could be a hold. Well, when it's
that
more,
is true.
When
that
it's egregious,
true. Yeah,
you had to call it. I mean, he was getting held all over the place last week. Once again, I'm not one to complain about refs.
Okay. For people who know James, we all know that's the opposite of what it is.
I did at the basketball game last night go, I don't know about that. And then the ref turned around and went, she jumped up and she came back down. That's trouble. I was like, okay, thanks for telling me. I can't see that on the court.
I mean, this game, like James said, is gonna come down to the Vandal defense. Can we make enough stops? Because no offense to our offense. Our offense is not made to score 35 points. Scoring 34 against Cal Poly was because we had to. It wasn't because our best sweet spot is to score 21, 28, and then have our defense stop them. That is the Vandal's identity. And if we get into a shootout, and James, for the first time in my 3 years of knowing him, he actually said he's nervous about a game.
I'm genuinely nervous about this game. And it's not because Idaho's offense isn't great.
No, it is.
It's not because Idaho's defense isn't great. It's solely because Eastern Washington has the third best offense in the Big Sky Conference. I don't care how bad their defense is. You know, if Idaho has to score 35 points, you know, this isn't a game that Idaho can win 35 to 28. This is a game that Idaho has to win 21, 24 to 17, 21, somewhere in there.
I mean, and so the one thing I will say is last year, the game was high scoring.
It was like 48 to 30-something.
Yeah. Well, we did not face Koa last year.
And we faced their backup
quarterback. We faced their back quarterback, and they still dropped whatever they dropped on us. So Eastern Washington has always been a good offensive team. And then in the years past, they've had a really good defense and have been a top two team inside the Big Sky. Now, I know that Vandal fans are very confident and sometimes cocky people, as I have been talking to people, and they say, oh, this game's going to be a blowout. No, it's not.
Remember that time I predicted last week to be, what, like 28-30-something to 2?
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't.
I mean, they put up 38 against UC Davis. So it's just like this game it's going to come down to can our defense make enough stops? Because, again, like you, James, and I just said, this offense is not good in shootouts. It's just not. I mean, we're a controlled team that likes to control the clock and likes low scoring games. I mean, for fans, that's boring, right? I mean, everyone wants to see scoring. Me, I'm actually the opposite. I really love a nice defensive game, and I do think if the Vandals are to win, and I really hope they do, because obviously losing Eastern at home would not be good. It's going to have to be a low-scoring game.
Yeah, I mean, I looked up the game from last season because that felt important. It was in Cheney, which every team struggles up there. Montana almost lost to Eastern in Cheney this year. Last year's game was 44-36.
Yeah.
But the reason that game was 44-36 is because we had one of the best running backs in the Big Sky, Anthony Woods, who now, quote-unquote, plays for Utah. Idaho wins that game by 8. I've told everyone who I've talked to about this game, if this game was in Cheney, pencil in a loss for Idaho. If this game was up in Eastern on the red turf, Idaho loses probably by 2-3 scores.
Well, I mean, I believe if the game was in Cheney, we might not have Jack Wagner starting. We might have Jack Lane starting.
Yeah, because if this was a game where you really need to win, and you're on the road, and you really need to win to keep your playoff hopes alive, because it's going to be embarrassing.
Which we do, quote unquote, we do, because we already have 3 losses. So but my thing about this Vandal team, can they play 4 quarters? I think that's the thing. We really haven't played a complete game all season, except Albany. That's the only game we played all 4 quarters.
And look at how Albany's doing.
And that game was a blowout.
Yeah, I mean, this is a game that, you know, it's weird to say a game against Eastern Washington, a 2-5 football team, is a must win.
It's a definite must win.
But it's an absolute must win. And, you know, you get out of this game, you look at next week.
We've got a bye week next week.
You get out of this game.
Let's go.
You can look at your team and you can go, okay, guys, every single one of you, I need you to be in ice baths every day this week. Yeah. Epsom salt if you need. We're going to practice as much as we need to without hurting each other.
Yeah.
Sound good? You're all going to look at each other, offense, defense. You're going to look each other in the eyes. You're going to promise each other, I won't tear your ACL. I won't break your collarbone. I won't hurt you before we go play top 5 Portland State next week. So, we have 2 minutes left, and I figure, I feel like predictions are probably the best thing to do here for Eastern Washington Parent Weekend /Blackout. I do have my black t-shirt on that kind of fits from freshman year. The spread is 8.5, according to Vegas, in favor of Idaho. If I had to guess, I'm going to give my prediction from earlier, about, I don't know, probably 3 minutes ago, where I said Idaho was going to have to win this game 24-17, 21. I think this could easily be a 24-21 game-winning field goal. I predicted that a lot, but I think I might be right in this case. Jaden, give us your predictions, and we'll close this out.
Yeah, I mean, this game's been tough for me because I've been saying all year, Eastern Washington is a scary team. And no one ever believes me until, okay, we're here, and it's a scary team. I have only predicted the Vandals to lose one game. That was a game against Montana State. I do think the Vandals win this game, but I think it's going to be... I'm going to go probably 28-24, because it's just for the fact that... both teams will score. It's just I think the Vandals defense can make enough stops to win this game and get to 6-3 and get to our bye week, which is probably going to be the best week of this ever, because we have really desperately needed a bye. It's about week 5. So now we're now here. We have a bye week next week, which is going to be huge for the team. Obviously not fun for us, because then what exactly are we supposed to talk about? But it's going to be good, but 28-24,
okay.
I think.
Well, that's all the time we have, and I'm actually technically a little bit late, so thank you for listening to KUOI Moscow 89.3 FM. This episode of the Vandal Scoreboard has been sponsored by James Torman Aldrich and Jaden Barfus. That was a fun exit. I like that. You can follow Jaden on Instagram at JadenBarfus10, or if he ever gets back on Twitter, follow the same thing there.
Yeah.
And you can follow me on Twitter at JamesAldrich25. Thank you all so much for tuning in. I'm going to turn things back over to the robot. I hope you all have a wonderful day. Jaden, if you want to say goodbye, feel free to do so.
Goodbye. Goodbye, everybody. And have a nice, safe Parents Weekend. People, we don't want any accidents. We all know that parents and students will get a bit tipsy today. So just please be safe, and please do not drink and drive either, please.
Uber is not that expensive.
Yes, or Lyft, or to use your feet like I do every single day. All right. So,
thank
alrighty.
You, everyone. Yep. Have a great weekend. Goodbye.